It's time for your North Iowa news on KCHA for Friday, November 17th. I'm Mark Pitts reporting. Construction of the new west northbound lanes of the highways 218-1827 interchange at Floyd is still on target for completion in time for the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, according to Pete Helmstead with the Mason City District Office of the Iowa DOT.
When we open up the westbound on Monday afternoon is what we're scheduled to do right now. The inside lane will be closed, but the interchange will be open, meaning traffic will be using the new highway, the new bridge, the new ramps. And during that time, the eastbound lanes will continue to be using the traffic pattern they're using right now. But then on Tuesday, we will have the eastbound open as well. And again, that will be an inside lane closure on 218, but the bridge will be open, the ramps will be open. It'll function as a regular interchange with a lane closure.
Still, Helmstead says crews are working on finishing touches.
We've got to put in guardrail today. The signs still have to go up. The big thing, too, is removing the traffic control. It's not like we can go out there and just pull two barricades aside and say, here you go. You know, there are thousands of lane separators out there. You have to remove the paint that's there that helps guide motorists right now and put down the paint for the regular.
Helmstead adds that the median crossovers installed to allow motorists to get to both sides of the interchange during construction must also be removed. That could happen this fall if the weather allows. Otherwise, it will be next spring. The majority of northeast Iowa remains in extreme drought, while the area of extreme drought stretched farther into southern Iowa amid an overall lack of rainfall across the state, according to the latest U.S. Drought Monitor. Based on precipitation through 7 a.m. Tuesday, November 14th, all of Blackhawk, Bremer, Buchanan, Chickasaw, Howard, Fayette, Floyd, and Mitchell counties are still rated in the D3 extreme drought category. More than three-quarters of Butler, Cerro Gordo, and Winnesheek counties, two-thirds of Franklin County, about half of Worth and Clayton counties, and a third of Grundy County also remain in extreme drought. Varying degrees of drought are affecting about 83% of the state, and extreme drought, the second to worst classification issued by the Drought Monitor, expanded into southeast Iowa and recently crept into south central Iowa. The new assessment issued yesterday follows a week of almost no precipitation in the state, according to the USDA. A small portion of far eastern Iowa had rainfall that totaled about a tenth of an inch. The vast majority of the state had none. As of Sunday, about 42% of the state's topsoil and 31% of the subsoil had adequate or surplus moisture for growing crops. That, according to the USDA, it's also down several percentage points from a year ago. The current drought conditions are expected to persist in most of Iowa throughout the winter, according to a new report by the Federal Climate Prediction Center. The landscape of northern Chickasaw County is now lined with 66 wind turbines. MidAmerican Energy Development Project Director Jared Nowak says the last of the wind turbines for the Chickasaw Wind Energy Center were erected Wednesday afternoon. With all 66 now in place, all north of New Hampton, he says they anticipate energizing the substations and begin starting up the turbines in early December. Nowak adds that multiple circuits will be energized with 5 to 8 turbines per circuit. FAA lights on the turbines will also be enabled, with 3 turbines a day starting to spin from the date they energize. The wind farm is expected to go online by the end of the year. MidAmerican Energy, which also owns over 50 wind turbines on 16 acres south of Charles City, purchased the Chickasaw Wind Farm in June from Chicago-based Invenergy. In August, both Invenergy and NextEra addressed the Floyd County Board of Supervisors about developing separate wind farms, calling for the erection of over 150 wind turbines combined. Both companies targeting areas from Floyd and Rudd towards Rockford and Marble Rock. Landowners in the area of the proposed wind projects have lobbied supervisors to put a moratorium on their development until the county ordinances regulating their construction can be updated. While a $28.5 million bond referendum to revitalize Charles City High School failed to pass earlier this month, that doesn't mean fixes to the building aren't still needed, and efforts will continue to address them. Director of Operations Jerry Mitchell gave a summary report to the school board this week on repairs and other projects over the last decade plus for the high school.
Since 2011, we have put approximately $4 to $4.5 million into this building alone. So we are working on the building. We're trying to get as much done as we can with what we have for public money annually. It takes a long time to do it.
One of the priorities in recent years is improving school security, and while not complete, Mitchell said they've made significant advances.
When I came, there were 3 three-door proximity readers think it's quite to get into this building. That's it, three in this entire district. We're up to over 180. That's a big security thing. That's a lot of money to do that. You've got to protect everyone inside this building.
The number of cameras has also seen a dramatic increase.
Cameras, there were probably five working cameras. We have over 350 cameras in this district now. And there's, between this complex right here, there's probably 150 cameras.
Mitchell added that much of the work isn't fancy, but even a project like replacing roofs must be done to protect what's inside the building. Charles City High School was built in 1960 and hasn't had any major work done to it in the 63 years since. For now, Superintendent Ann Lundquist says students will keep on learning and the district will continue to mitigate facility repairs as best they can, piece by piece. It was almost 2.5 years ago that Charles City's Carly Stevenson collapsed due to blood clots in her lungs. Michelle Stevenson says her daughter continues to make strides to rebound. However, the family is looking to speed up the process of regaining her sight and speech with an experimental medical treatment program in Boca Raton, Florida. However, since it's not FDA approved, it's not insurance approved, so they've embarked on a fundraising campaign to help defray those costs, which could approach $70,000. The public can support the effort during a benefit bake sale this Sunday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Tyson's in Charles City. All donations will go directly towards Carly's medical treatment. Michelle Stevenson says enough money has been raised to cover Carly's first two shots in Florida, with her first shot scheduled for December 28th and the second on January 4th. Cost for the first and second procedures is over $19,000, which does not include travel, car rental, housing, or food. The family will fly home after the second shot and go back 4 weeks later for the third shot, with the fourth shot 6 weeks after that. Donations can also be made through Carly's Fight on Facebook or at First Citizens Bank in Charles City. More North Iowa news on the way on KCHA.